Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 168, Cooking Fish with Sina C. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I am Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun. Got a great episode lined up for you today. A lot of you are very interested in improving your fish cooking skills and incorporating more fish into your diet. Well, today's episode is going to be right up your alley. We're going to be talking about cooking fish. In fact, we're not even going to just be talking about cooking fish. We're going to be talking about how a third generation fishing family cooks fish. I've got Rich and Sina Wheeler of Sina C on the show today, and we're going to get into what it's like to fish up in Alaska, their family business, how they like to cook fish, and more. So stick around for that. Of course, before we get there, though, there are just a couple bits of housekeeping I want to remind you about. One, if you're looking for the show notes for this episode, so anything Rich and Sina and I talk about on this episode, I will put over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/168. That's kitchencounterpodcast.com/168. That will get you to the show notes. So if you hear something that Sina or Rich mentioned that you want to go check out, like their website or their social media or their products, just head over to the show notes and you'll find it there. If you're interested in getting a hold of me, you can always send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. Always happy to hear from listeners. If you've got show ideas or questions, or if you just want to say hi, I'd love to hear that. And of course, if you're looking to be a little more interactive and you want to get involved in our growing community of home cooks, I would recommend you head over to the Facebook group, The Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. Got a lot of cool people in there. If your friends and family get tired of you posting awesome pictures of the food you make, have no fear. We're all for that at the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break and asking questions and just having a lot of fun with our home cooking. So to get to that, kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. All right, let's get back to the topic at hand. Once again, today I have Rich and Sina Wheeler of Sina C. If you want to go check out their website, again, I'll put this in the show notes, but it's really simple. It's sinac.com, sinasea.com. I'm not going to go too much into their bios here as usual because they do a really great job of giving us their background on the show. But in this episode, we're going to talk about cooking fish, salmon, halibut, black cod. We're going to learn a little bit about multi-generational fishing families, all sorts of good stuff. So, oh, and I might add that they're both fellow Oregon State University alums. Go Beavs. So without further ado, let's jump right into this with Rich and Sina Wheeler of Sina C. All right. Well, I'm here with Rich and Sina Wheeler of Sina C. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm excited to talk to you because one thing is for certain. I hear from a lot of listeners and they all want to know how to cook fish. And I think it's awesome that we're going to learn a little bit about your business because you're actually catching fish. And I've tried some of your fish and it's fantastic. And we're going to get into that in a minute. Maybe just give us a little bit of background about yourselves, because I know you're in Washington State now, but you're actually fishing up in Alaska when you do fish. Yeah, give me a little bit of background about your business. And I know you have some generational history with fishing. That would be great to hear about too.
Well, we are third generation. So my grandfather immigrated from Norway to Ballard in Seattle area. And so for that, they're a fishing family in Norway, and as the brothers immigrated, they got boats and they fished. So we've been fishing for at least three generations, I would say. And so my dad came up that way through my mom. So let me see if I can get it right or say it right at least. That was my mom's dad that fished. So my dad was the son-in-law, and he got involved through my mom. And he fished my whole life. Rich and I grew up in the Puget Sound in Washington. And Rich got involved also as the son-in-law. So fishermen are, they have, what is it, proud.
Proud wives.
No, there's a word for it. I forgot the term, but anyways, nepotism. Proud nepotism of passing the boat down through the family. So that's kind of how our multi-generational, we also are teaching our kids. They come out on the boat with us in the summers, and our son, who's 14, is starting to spend more and more time out on the boat, especially thanks to COVID. So that's our kind of generational history. I think that I'll kind of go into my history, and then maybe you do you, Rich. I grew up fishing on my dad's boat, and then I went into my degree in college was nutrition and food science. And then I was going to grad school, and that's where I found Oregon State University, and they had a fisheries and food science master's track. So I actually did that just because my history always has fish involved. So I ended up going to Oregon State and getting my master's in food science. And then part of that track, you spend a year over in Astoria where OSU has their seafood lab. So we did a year doing that as well. So that was kind of our very interesting, and it was a brand new seafood lab in Astoria. It was a really pretty cool opportunity. And we were married, and then Rich started fishing through the family business and has been fishing for 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
20 you can give years. Your side of the story.
Yeah. Okay. So growing up, both Sam and I grew up on Vashon, and where it's a large fishing community, you know, a lot of crabbers and Southeast fishermen and whatnot, some Bristol Bay guys. And so, after graduating from school, came back home and, was, doing some carpentry work. And then one of my best friends growing up, finally came over and said, let's go do this. And, he was able to land me a job on a Bristol Bay boat. And, then I went and tried it out, see if I could do the work and, go from there, and then kind of fell in love with the whole thing, and then Cena and I got married, and then I was brought in on the family business side of things, and you know, went from making a mere $25,000 a year to having a debt load of $556,000 and a debt payment of $60,000 a year. I mean, it was real. We were in it. To make this work. And I think along the way, I've done several fisheries now. I primarily longline for halibut black cod for the first 12 years of my career, and then transitioned into more salmon, and also then continued to longline for halibut black cod and grown from there. So the writing on the wall with a lot of opportunity to direct market our fish right to the consumer. And where we started CNC, and it's only gone up from there. Pretty exciting.
So you're up in Alaska fishing, Rich, and I've actually tried some of your Copper River salmon. I'm guessing you probably caught that fish that I tried.
The business now was kind of grown from, it was exclusively my fish. That's all we sold. Was my halibut and black cod, and then my Copper River salmon products. And then here about 3 years ago, I was approached from the company that was doing all my custom processing, and they said, hey, we're interested in selling. Would you be interested in buying the processing plant? So we jumped on the opportunity, put together a big investor pool, and started 60 North Seafoods, and where not only is it my fish, but like-minded fishermen, and where we have control of the product all the way through. So the fishermen that we're buying fish from are my investors. And so it's really well taken care of product, and where we manage it from me to Cena, where it's
right
to the door.
So having that control from the catching process, how it's caught, how it's handled, respectfully handled, all of that. And then to have the small custom processing facility. So it doesn't change hands. We still have control, and we're cutting the fish to our specifications. freezing, flash freezing, and then we bring it down, and we're in Washington where I am, and my team are packing boxes and shipping it out. So it's that vertically integrated, I think is the catch term, but you know, really having that control from how the fish is caught and cared for and cut and frozen all the way to the customer is totally unique in the fishing industry anyway.
Yeah. And you know what? I think a lot of home cooks are, especially if they don't live near coastal waters or where there's a source of fresh seafood, for example, there's this weird idea, I think, that maybe frozen fish is not the best type of fish you could get, right? You should always get fresh fish. I've always been an advocate of frozen fish because I think the quality is usually fantastic, right? I mean, it's usually frozen shortly after catch. But what I love about what you're talking about here is, like, if you go to the supermarket and buy a bag of frozen fish, you may or may not exactly know the chain of custody or whatever, however you phrase it, you know, where it came from. It might say on the label, but you do lose that connection, right, with knowing that there's a family that's catching the fish, or a small group, a business group that's catching this fish. You know exactly where it's been, you know the quality of it, and it's really coming straight to you. And like I say, I tell people frozen fish is really a great option, especially if you can't get local fresh fish. And the quality is amazing. Like the fish you sent me, I mean, I knew it was frozen because it came frozen in a box with dry ice, but had I thawed it and served it to somebody, they would never have known that was frozen fish, right?
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I completely agree. And like I said, I have my master's in food science and fisheries. So I did my thesis on onboard handling characteristics and, you know, fats compared to sensory analysis. And when we set about to do this business, we knew we wanted to bring, we're spoiled. We get the best fish all the time. We know that. We really wanted to find a way to bring that premium quality to people that don't have access. And we thought about the fresh versus frozen, and really for us, to really think about how to bring that most premium and consistent quality. Fresh is hard if you're talking about coming from Alaska. And you know, we do Copper River fish. It's coming from Alaska. So like you say, I completely agree. If you happen to live down by the docks, then you can probably get fresh fish really consistently. But if you don't, then this flash frozen is really the way to capture the quality. I even find when I'm defrosting our fish, I like to defrost it in cold water 45 minutes before we cook it. If it's even in the refrigerator overnight, I feel like the quality degrades in the refrigerator. So fresh fish, it has 5 days on it in the refrigerator. You know, if you really understand when it was caught and how it got to the grocery store, it typically has some time on it. And I think that getting that fish flash frozen like we do, keeping it frozen, is actually a way to preserve that high quality. So I completely agree. And most fishermen are spoiled eating fresh fish in the summer, but you know, what do they eat in the winter? It's going to be frozen fish, of course.
Right, exactly. Let's talk a little bit about cooking fish, if you guys don't mind. So I got some of your Copper River salmon fillets. And salmon's my favorite fish. I'll just go on the record for that. I've grown up eating it, you know, lived in the Pacific Northwest my whole life. I will not argue with anybody that Alaskan salmon is the best there is. So I've eaten lots of local, but I know what you guys have going on up there is fantastic. And for me, my favorite way to eat salmon is hot smoked salmon, because my dad would make that as a kid. So I have like a lot of this weird emotional memory about smoked salmon too, but I just love it. But obviously for your typical home cook, that's really not practical to smoke salmon. So what I did with a couple of the fillets that you sent me, and I'm going to share what I did, and then I would love to get your insight on like how you guys like to cook fish.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite way to cook salmon. The less you do with salmon in many cases, and especially excellent quality salmon like this, I think the better. But I just do a really hot pan, like a stainless steel pan, as hot as I can get it, and a little bit of olive oil, and I sear the salmon skin side down for maybe 5 minutes. Throw a knob of butter in there, flip the salmon for another couple of minutes, and it's ready to go, in my opinion. I mean, that to me is easy. It takes like 10 minutes, right, total, to make salmon that way. I mean, salmon is a fish. You can do a lot to it flavor wise and it'll hold up to it because it's very, you know, it's a very fatty, oily, relatively strong fish. But I think that simple preparation, and it made your fish really shine through. I mean, it was amazing. What would you guys think? What do you like to do with your salmon?
I think that's perfect. I absolutely agree. The higher the quality, the less you need to do. The number one question, we've done a lot of farmers markets. The number one question is that we get from people is, how do you cook your fish? And they don't mean just how do you cook fish. They mean how do you cook your fish, being in a third generation fishing family. So I totally agree. And I do that, you know, that's what I do when there's nobody around and I'm just cooking for one. I will pan sear salmon like that. I like it like that a lot. When we lately, and I go through kind of, I just go through personal favorite ways of cooking, you know, like everybody else. But what I like to do for the coho right now, my dad has me on a no flip method on the barbecue. So he, my dad was around. My dad is the fisherman from our family, and he was visiting, and we had fresh Copper River, and we're throwing on the grill, and he says, "Okay, you got it. He's sold," and he's telling me on this no flip method. So I said, "Okay, I'll try it," and I'm sold. It's pretty amazing. I used to always put the salmon on the grill flesh side down first, and sort of sear that on the grill, and then flip it. But it can kind of get stuck on the grill, and basically, he convinced me, because if you set the salmon, the skin side down, then pretty much the fat and juices are all going into the fish. You're not flipping it over on the grill and losing it. So I kind of like that concept. So I've been playing off that a lot, and I'll do a marinade. I'll do some, you know, olive oil or butter, or lately I've been mixing olive oil and butter. I don't know. People might argue with that. I like it.
It tastes good. Do it.
Right. I like to put in a little bit of, I have a white balsamic vinegar, a white vinegar with salmon. I just like a little bit of lemon, a little bit of anything green, chives, cilantro, anything, and garlic. So I'll do it and some salt. So I'll do a dressing like that. That's really meant to just bring out the flavor of the fish and be really bright and just a little punch of flavor. So I'll put the fish on the grill, skin side down, and then pour that over. And I feel like it's kind of letting all the flavor and fat kind of stay in the fish, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. What about you, Rich? What's your favorite way to eat salmon? I'm curious.
On a barbecue.
Okay.
I have also gone over to the way of seeing his dad snaking or knows how to cook fish, and I'm a no flip guy now.
You're a convert too.
Yeah. You're a convert to the. Well, explain the no flip method. I mean, it's self explanatory, but I mean, what's
just skin down on the cooking surface. So the skin of the fish, that's the other thing that we need to go into is the way that we cook fish is the way that we sell our fish, and we sell it with skin on. We don't sell, we sell a very, very few of our products with skin off. I think lingcod, rockfish, peacod is about all we do with the skin off. The occasional special order of, I know we've done some Copper River coho with skin right off on a cedar plank that is just out of this world. But mostly, 9 times out of 10, it's skin on and skin down on the cooking surface, whether it's a barbecue or a skillet. Mm-hmm. So
over direct heat or indirect?
Over direct heat. Yeah, I like to go direct heat. And sometimes I'll do indirect depending on what I'm cooking. If it's on a cedar plank, then I'll do it that way. And I go in and out of how I enjoy it. And sometimes if I'm kind of entertaining, you know, I'll go to a cedar plank because I don't have to pay attention to it as much.
Right, right.
But very seasonal or very simple seasoning, such as, you know, I like to use a good salt, a nice sea salt. I like to use a little Johnny's and then a little garlic salt also. I'm maybe a little bit more on the salty side of how I like my fish, but and I like undercooked rather than overcooked.
Sure,
I think we all do, but
right.
And
that's a good point you bring up too. Go ahead.
You know, really paying attention to not only when I take it off the grill, but that cooking time after it's off the grill to, you know, when we're serving it to our guests or our family, you know, so it's paying attention to how much time it's still cooking afterward.
That's a good point you bring up. And I think maybe we could talk about that for just a second, is the temperature and how long you need to cook fish. Because I think for whatever reason, fish is terrifying for most home cooks to cook if they're not, if they've never done it right. It's a scary thing, but, yeah. And I think part of that fear is you don't want to ruin a good piece of fish by overcooking it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, here, Sina had a, here about probably a month ago, she was talking about, you know, how easy it is. It's easy to cook good fish. And I think that we're really spoiled with that. You know, there are some, what I will call, the cedar plank that I'm talking about, you know, is kind of our training wheels, mm-hmm. for, particularly in the U.S., I don't think that there's a lot of people that cook fish, but we don't know how to cook good fish. And the cedar plank allows a really expensive piece of fish, and it allows you to be successful with it, you know, such as halibut. You know, we've all grown up eating halibut, and you're 15 seconds away from ruining it.
Right.
And today, halibut is really expensive, and such as Copper River sockeye or king, is really expensive fish.
Yeah. The name of the game on fish is not having it dry out.
Yeah.
So, the leaner the fish, the easier it will be to dry out because the fat in the fish holds the moisture. So, one of the hardest is halibut, and it's because it's such a lean fish. People love that meaty texture. I've perfectly cooked halibut is a showstopper, mm-hmm. but like Rich says, you know, that you're on a razor edge on the perfectly cooked part. So Rich has mentioned the cedar plank. We use a cedar plank with halibut. Sometimes you might you soak the cedar plank in water first, in warm water, so it has moisture in it. And then you put the fish on the plank, maybe put some veggies and things. I have sort of like pile some veggies I want to go with it, and then drape a sauce over the whole thing. And that sauce will have some sort of fat, so butter or olive oil or something, or a cream sauce, and it will be covering the fish. So it's, again, that concept that the plank is letting the steam rise up into the fish, and then the fat layer is holding that moisture down so it's not evaporating off. And so you can hold a lot of moisture in. So the leaner the fish, the more you're concentrating on retaining moisture. And then, of course, just not overcooking it.
Yeah. I mean, and sometimes fish go so fast, it's like there's no time, and it's too finicky to like use a thermometer most of the time, right? I mean, you can eyeball fish usually, but I usually just go with like the 10 minute per inch as a baseline, you know, at the high end, you know, but your mileage may vary, Rich. Like you like it a little on the underdone side, so you just got to watch it. Fish is not something you can like put on and like go watch a few episodes of whatever on the TV, right? I mean, you've got to like be there and on it.
The other thing that we've noticed is I have a stupid little barbecue up in Alaska on my boat that I paid $70 for. And it is hands down the best barbecue that we own. that we have had from the big briquette to the big whole propane barbecue to the Traegers to and this hands down does the very best. I don't know why it's just a tiny little,
it's like a mobile barbecue.
Is it briquettes?
No, nope.
Then
it's just a little screw in green canister propane barbecuer.
Oh, and, wow.
And it's a little Weber, and it is amazing, hands down the best. I don't know if it's something to do with how the heat is dispersed in it or the moisture from the propane, but it does the best fish.
It has a tight fitting lid, I think, is part of it. Like it's the way it keeps everything in. So we cook the best fish on the boat.
Yeah.
And we have fancier barbecues and everything.
Could part of that be the atmosphere, though?
It is.
You know what I mean? It's like when you go to New Orleans and have like a shrimp po' boy, and then you get home and try to make one, and you're like, this sucks. Yeah. This doesn't taste anything like same ingredients.
The other thing that I will share with you too is during this, we do use our frozen fish because, of course, Sina has to take a picture of every damn dinner that we eat. So she's taking pictures of it, and we're using the real live product that we sell, you know, to our customers. So it's frozen, it's cut out of the package, it's thawed the way that, you know, we recommend.
Right.
And so it's pretty neat. But this barbecue is just, it is the best. Hands down, we have been able to unreplicate it at home. And I'm going to buy a cheap barbecue so I can do it. So
it's not going to work at home. I'm going to tell you right now. It's just not going to, you're going to be like, this isn't the same. Right?
Yeah. I want to dive into this, you know, talking about fish, about what kind of fish to cook and, you know, how simple it is to cook good fish. And when we're talking to people about what sort of fish to cook, first-time fish buyers, we'll always push them towards black cod too, which is just super simple, really high success rate. And then I get them hooked on this and how simple it is to cook it. And then they come back and, you know, for more and more and more. It's
Now, why is it simple? Is it because it's like high fat content, hard to dry up, hard to overcook?
Yeah. Like you can drink many cocktails and not screw this up.
That sounds like a formula for success right there, especially if you're dealing with open flames.
Exactly. I had a neighbor that I was bragging about this, and we were had a couple cocktails, and he says, I think your barbecue is on fire. And I go out there, and sure enough, the whole barbecue is just erupted in flames, and because it's so damn oily, it really did burn after 45 minutes.
Right.
So,
you can screw it up if you really try.
So, but it's a wonderful, easy fish to cook.
Right. It's the opposite. So where halibut is in the lean, down on the lean end of the scale, black cod is all the way the other end for a white fish, which would be really high in fat. And that's omega-3 fat. So really healthy. We call it brain food around here. But that high fat does make it easier to cook because it basically shrinks down that, or I'm sorry, expands the window of goodness where you're not catching it on this razor's edge of doneness. You can cook it longer. So black cod, we cook hotter. You can cook it longer. And because of the fat content, it just doesn't dry out. So that's what makes it easier for a starter fish. You just have a bigger window of catching it. And it's going to be, it's like, you're not sure, cook it another 2 minutes, another 5 minutes, it'll be fine. And I even, we broil the top, get it black, a little bit of bits of black on the top, and it's fantastic. So that does make it really easy. The moisture content, the fat content does really kind of affect that window of doneness that you have that you're going for.
So we talked about black cod. We talked about halibut and salmon. Those are kind of your big three as far as what you guys are catching up in Alaska, right?
Yeah.
And I saw on your website that you do a lot of processing too. So you're smoking salmon. It looks like you've got some interesting, you do can the fish as well.
Yep. So what we do with all our value added side of things is we send that sort of stuff out, to get done. So we have, professional people, doing our smoking, such as our, lox and everything else that we sell, our spreads process all the fish up in Alaska, prepare it for how we want it sent out. So we'll cut our specs for our black cod, smoked black cod and everything there, and it gets sent down to the smoker.
Cool. Did we forget to talk about anything?
Black cod collars.
Black cod collars. So yeah. Okay, that's a delicacy.
That's a delicacy, and it's great for people that want a barbecue and then transition into like a casserole, there's all kinds of fun stuff with them, and completely underutilized part of the fish. And we do a really nice job with them. And they come individually frozen, glazed, and then with the fins cut off to maximize our packaging with them. And then you get them, you can grab in there and you can grab a couple out, marinate them, do whatever marinade you want. Some people like Yoshida's.
Kind of a Yoshida's, a sweet, sticky marinade.
Yeah. And then
barbecue. Like a soy maple type thing or something.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the barbecue. It's the fattest part. It's the richest part of the fish right there. And these, those dart latches just pop out like these just beautiful little nuggets of goodness.
There's a lot of cartilage and bone to work with, but the pieces that are in there, it's kind of like eating crab. It's worth it for the little nuggets of perfect pieces.
Yeah.
So that's niche. Also, one other thing, if we have a one more moment that we didn't talk about, is our chop items. And so we call it chop. This is something that we kind of created, and it's utilizing the whole fish. So on our salmon, after we fillet, we will scrape the bone with a spoon and scrape the bit of meat off of the backbone. And if you do that enough times on enough frames, we sell a 1 pound bag of basically that scraped backbone meat. We call it chop because it's like it was pre-chopped, and it's really good for burger soups. And we do that with the white fish too, with the trimming. So it's little chunks on the white fish, but it's like perfect for tacos and stuff. So that's really fun just because of the sustainability and the utilizing the whole fish aspect, like the collars.
Cool. Let's talk a little bit about that then, if somebody's interested in getting a hold of some of this product. And obviously, I'll mention at the beginning of the show that there's a show notes page where I'll put links for everything that we mention here so they don't have to remember it. Let me just share my experience, which I assume will be the same experience for anybody who orders fish from you, which I came home and there was a box on my doorstep. This is probably what it's like. I've never done like the Blue Apron thing or whatever, but I assume it's similar, right? Shows up in a box. It's wrapped really well. It's got dry ice in there. It was frozen hard as a rock. So it wasn't like, I don't know how many days it took to get to me, a couple, I'm guessing, from Washington down here. Mm-hmm. But it was like no big deal. I mean, I could have left it on the doorstep all day. And even if I got home later that evening, it would have been ready to go. So that was pretty cool. I've never really ordered anything or had anything sent to me that was like fresh, frozen, you know, shipped. I've always bought it in a store or something like that. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I don't think anybody should worry about that. But tell me a little bit more about like what somebody can expect if they want to go order from your site.
Right.
I think they can do probably like one-time orders. They can do subscriptions, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, just the concept of ordering fish online and getting a box of frozen fish in the mail is a little bit mind-blowing and wow, and a little bit nerve-wracking for people on the first time. That's where we put a lot of effort. When Rich is fishing, I'm shipping. So we spend a lot of effort and energy on dialing in that shipping. So what we do is we pack with dry ice, and we pack, you saw, really nice and tight. We ship second day. So across the nation, if you're in New York, you're going to get it on second days. We always ship on Mondays. That's when we get our dry ice delivery. So we ship with this fresh, nice, big brick of dry ice on Mondays, and all of our packages have arrived by Wednesday. So it's nice for us. We know, you know, if somebody's emailing on Wednesday night, I know their package is coming, you know, things like that. So once people get that first package and receive it and go, oh, this is fine. It has enough dry ice to sit on the porch, like you right. said. You know, people can come home from work. It can be there waiting. So we have a lot of people pleasantly surprised with that whole concept, which is great. You get the box, and then they're frozen. And so the other thing that's nice is you can put them in the freezer. It's at your convenience. So you can basically get a size that works with your freezer, and then you have fish on hand. You're going to go cook a weeknight meal. What I do is just look around the room. How many people do we have? Pull out that many of portions. There's 6 ounce portions. The coho is cut into 8, so that's the bigger, fatter fish. So there's 6 to 8 ounce portions, which is nice for one adult. Small kids, our kids will split our littler ones. So being able to just pull out those portions. And like I said, I defrost them. I put them in cold water. Just, you know, 45 minutes before I'm going to prep the meal. So that's practically fast food.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned the whole water thing, because that's how I defrost them too.
Right.
I mean, yeah, putting them in the fridge like the night before is fine, or the morning, but there's really no need to, because they defrost so fast. And you know what else I was really impressed with when I took the fish out of the packaging? You wrap the fish. Oh. Is it in parchment paper or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I pulled it out and I'm like, oh, there's like something, it's not just like fish stuck in a plastic, you know, vac bag or something. It was cool.
It's really cool. We're proud of that. It's part of our kind of signature preparation. When we, the very first year that we started processing and direct marketing our own fish, we had the idea and the concept was sort of so that the fish doesn't touch the plastic. And we did half of our fish with the with the parchment wrap and half without. And then the winter, of course, we eat our fish all winter long. That's how we get through the winter. It was really in the winter that we saw the difference when we were opening packages on the parchment wrapped versus non-parchment wrapped. And the parchment wrap just were hands down higher quality every single time. So after that one winter, we just said, that's it. We're going to wrap everything in parchment. It seems like it's just an extra barrier. And it helps against freezer burn. It helps against the pin bones popping the bag, and your food hasn't touched plastic, which is nice too. Oh, I think we were going to touch on the subscription end of things. So when you go onto our website, you'll see all of our different products and fish as well as smoked items. And so you can buy anything as a one-time. You can just try stuff out. We have some sampler boxes of fish combined. You can buy it one time. And then right under that, you could click if you want it monthly, every 1 month, every 2 months, every 3 months for a subscription. So it would just take your cart and it just creates a reorder. So we have a lot of people that do that. What I like is that little bit of flexibility on how many months, and you choose the size of the box and how many months. So you're really dialing in how much fish you want to be eating on a given month. And then your credit card information is saved, and you don't have to think about it or think, oh, geez, I should have done that, or I have to log on or remember my password. It's all automatic. So we have a lot of customers that really enjoy that. And it helps you eat more fish if you have it on hand.
That's right. You can't eat it if you don't have it. That's right. For sure. So, I'll put this in the show notes and everything, but again, Sena, C-S-E-N-A-C, I should spell it all out. I'll just put it in the show notes. SenaC.com is where people can go and order from you, learn about your story, that you have all recipes on there as well. Anything else social media wise that you want to let people know about?
Yeah. So, SenaSea.com for our website. Join our newsletter. We do have a cookbook of how we cook fish. So you just heard it's a lot like what we just talked about, but you get a free downloadable PDF of our favorite recipes for each fish. And then you can purchase the fish. I almost lost track. Oh, I'm sorry. Instagram is the other place you can find us. We're fairly active there, in Facebook, but I do recommend people to come right to the website and check out what we have and check out that free downloadable cookbook.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to sit down and chat fish. I think what you're doing is awesome. And I wish you nothing but tons of success moving forward.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode with Sena and Rich. Really cool people. Really learned a lot about not only fishing, the fishing family business, but just how to cook up some yummy fish. And again, the show notes for this episode, kitchencounterpodcast.com/168, gets you to all the links of the stuff we talked about in the episode. If you're interested in getting hold of their products, you're going to want to go over to SenaSea.com. That's SenaSea.com. Check that out. I've tried, as I mentioned on the show, their Copper River salmon. Fantastic. If you're in the market for high quality fish, conveniently frozen, definitely check out Sena and Rich's operation before you go anywhere else. Hey, I also want to remind you, I mentioned in the last episode that the Kitchen Counter Podcast is doing a fundraiser this year to support the World Central Kitchen and their mission of getting out around the world where disaster strikes and providing stand-up kitchens to get hot meals into the hands of folks that really, really could use them. If you're interested in that, I did talk a bit about it in the last episode, 167, but you can also just head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/WCK. K for World Central Kitchen, and I've got some information there, along with a link to our fundraising page. Hey, everybody, a couple quick shout outs here. Folks who have donated, I just want to say thank you personally. Stacy Pitts, Jessica Friedrichs, Eric Hosilla, Diane Smith, thank you very much for donating. Again, kitchencounterpodcast.com/WCK to go check that out. All right, everybody, that's it for today's episode. Thank you once again for tuning in, listening in, giving my guests a really warm welcome. Rich and Sina, thanks for coming on the show. That was fantastic. If you're getting any value out of this show, please tell your friends and your family how to find the show, how to listen to podcasts if they've never done that before. Help grow our little community of awesome home cooks here at The Kitchen Counter and over at the Facebook group, The Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. All right, everybody, stay healthy. Happy cooking. And until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast.